Being a good Episcopalians as we are, we don't talk about money very much. Which reminds me, our stewardship, yearly financial stewardship drive is about to kick off, so expect things to start showing up in the mail. But it's hard not to talk about money today. When we start off today's readings with the prophet Amos, Amos is bringing the word of God to the people of the northern kingdom. What Amos is arguing against is actually the wealth gap between the wealthy and the poor. That's what he's arguing against. Throughout Amos, you get bits and pieces of his anger, of God's wrath that comes through him about this. The line in there about what's also funny is because normally they just preach to one side, the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom. Amos throws in both in today's reading, bringing in Zion and Mount Samaria. Mount Samaria was in the north, and Zion is Jerusalem. It was in the south, so he was actually getting both of them. But he's there speaking to the north, to those in Samaria, he was in the capital of the north at that point. Capital moved around depending on who the king was, but he's there and he's talking to them. And he says, "Alas, for those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, drinking wine from bowls, anointing themselves with the finest oils, but not grieving over what's happening in Joseph, there in the northern kingdom." And so they had archaeology not too long ago actually brought light to this, because they were excavating there where the capital was. And they found over 500 carved pieces of ivory, which locked it into, this is what Amos was seeing. This isn't just something that he was bringing off, shooting off the mouth, just, you know, exaggerating. No, there was, at this point, a large gap, which was not at all what the law had ever intended there to be amongst the children of Abraham. Amos is remembering how, even if you had to sell everything out of desperation, after 7 years in Jubilee year, you actually got your land back. Every 7 years was a do-over. The slate was wiped clean. Amos knows this. Slate's not being wiped clean. The gap is getting bigger and bigger. Now, Jesus knows this scripture, and he knows this prophet, and he's drawing from Amos into today's gospel reading. He's describing for us what he is witnessing, and he is bringing God's word to those listeners. We know the story of the poor man outside the rich man's gate. It's been portrayed in all kinds of ways, in paintings, in poetry, and just our knowledge of Scripture. Huge wealth gap is what's happening, what Jesus is seeing. The poor are getting poorer, and the wealthy are getting richer. Kind of looks familiar. Jesus is drawing from Amos, and what we hear or are about to, I've got Linda up there. I threw Deacon Linda a curveball today because she wouldn't expect from the gospel to come so fast. But Linda is going to read for us from 1 Timothy. Now, I've asked her to do it in this order because Timothy's drawing from the stories that Jesus is telling. Jesus drew from the stories that Amos told.
Linda? A reading from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. There is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made good the confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
For those who in this present age are rich. Well, God created all, so God's not saying who's rich in a particular city or a particular town or state or country. We're talking about creation. And so for those of you who in the present age are rich, so that's us. That's all of us in this country. There's no way around that argument. I went back and I looked at some numbers I ran in 2010 through a particular website, and it was interesting the change that I saw that in 2010, if you made $20,000 a year, that's actually more than minimum wage. That's more than minimum wage at a 8 hours a day, 40 day a week, every week of the year. And that's gross. That's not take home. And so that's below, way below a living wage and minimum wage. Back then, you were in the top 11.16% of the world if you made $20,000 a year. Now, that number is, you're in the 3.65%. That number dropped 7.51% in 9 years. So now, $20,000 a year, you are in the top 3.65% of all wealth in the world. Congratulations. Yet, here we can't even live. It's the gap that Amos is worried about. I saw this number just this morning, and so I'm throwing it in there. In 1965, CEOs made 20 times more income than their average production worker in their companies. 20 times in 1965. Well, they should make more. Yeah. In 2016, it was 271 times what their workers make. It's the spread. The rich man didn't get in trouble for being rich. The rich man got in trouble for allowing what he saw or he chose not to see outside his gate. Probably didn't see it because his servants would have thrown out the scraps to those who were there. And it wouldn't have just been one person sleeping there. There would have been a lot, because it would have been a safe place for them to sleep. And this guy is wealthy. He's got a gate. He's got a wall. We're talking serious gap. 271 times more income than their workers. So we're the rich ones in this story. And so, again, it's not about being rich. It's about our relationship to the money and what it does to change us. The more wealthy that, in general, this is not true for everybody, so I'm over generalizing here. The wealthier we get, the more we don't see the poor. The more we don't care about that life, because it's so far removed. It's actually frightening for many to see that. So, as the wealthy in this story, we have to move to our understanding and of our relationship with money, and that's why I had Linda read it last. Because they had the stories of Jesus, and Jesus had the stories of Amos, and the story hasn't changed even yet today, but we're called to change that because we profess being children of Abraham, being those who follow a loving God, who are supposed to model a loving God to the world. So, we're commanded not to be haughty, to not be arrogant. We are to set our hopes haughty, or to set their hopes on uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Not that we have it. It's our relationship with it, and which affects our relationship with God. And what are we to do about it? Well, last paragraph in today's reading, we're to do good. To be rich in good works. Again, not about having money. It's about being generous, it tells us to be. It tells us to be ready to share. It's not about storing up things on earth. It's about storing up our relationship and building it with God, which we do with one another. Because that's a good foundation for the future, our scripture tells us. It doesn't say it's going to get you into heaven. It doesn't say that. It says that it's a good foundation for our future. Why? So that we may take hold of the life that really is life, the scripture tells us. To take hold of a life that really is life. And if the money and our wealth controls our relationship with others and how we see the world and how we hold on and how we allow gaps to get so far, this chasm between the two, so much that even the rich man still wanted Lazarus to come and serve him. That's what Jesus was preaching about. Linda told me the story, and she really wanted to tell you up here, and I'd let her come up and tell you now if you think you could do it without just bawling, because it's wonderful. She said, go ahead. Yeah. She had a couple holy moments, and ask her about the other one too, but the one that I want to share has to do with being rich and generous with ourselves. Now, we started this laundry love thing, right? We had a few quarters. We had a lot more soap. We still do. We've got more soap back there than we could ever. Don't bring any more laundry soap, because we have so much laundry soap that we it's just going to years worth back there. Keep bringing your quarters, though. It's our generosity through giving to things like the pantry, which had its greatest empty bowls ever. Wonderful. That'll keep that ministry going. And laundry love. And so Linda came in, and she told me about a lady who came in, but first Linda actually talked about the relationships they built, because this is where it comes into play. You build relationships. People start having names. People are real. Their lives actually become real, because Linda and Dottie and Heather and all those who go and help out there, they get to hear the stories and build the relationships every month. They're right there with them. Have a cookie. And the lady comes in, and their laundry love is, and she tells Linda how her daughter came home from school that day and said she needed money for something in the class. And her mom knew she didn't have it. She didn't have it because they didn't have any clean clothes, and she knew that she was going to the laundromat to spend that money so that her daughter could go to school and not stink, right? But in doing that, giving her daughter the dignity of that, her daughter was not going to be able to go to school with the money that she needed, which then you show up and all your friends have what it was you were asked, and you don't. And she was so blessed by this experience, realizing that Linda would do her laundry for her, which allowed her to send the money with her daughter to school. Do good. Be rich in good works, generous, ready to share. That is the treasure of a foundation for a future. Take hold of life that is really life. It's not about helping those poor people. It's about sharing our lives with them, sharing our wealth with them, and being in relationship.